Welcome to the Cancer Discovery Podcast. I'm your host, Mark Landis. With expanding knowledge of signaling pathways and molecular alterations in cancer, the hope is that personalized medicine will allow a patient to be treated with a drug tailored to the genetic makeup of his or her individual tumor. However, even in patients selected based on the presence of a particular mutation, there is a heterogeneous response to treatment. I'm joined now by Dr. Jeffrey Engelman, who reports in this issue of Cancer Discovery that the protein BIM may be a biomarker for response. Welcome, Dr. Engelman.
Hello.
Would you please explain the concept of an oncogene-addicted tumor and how these cancers can be treated by targeted therapies?
So a cancer with an oncogene addiction relies on the function of a certain protein for the growth and survival of the cancer. And commensurate with that reliance is that it is very sensitive to an inhibitor that blocks the function of that protein. And the cancer is therefore addicted to that protein, and an inhibitor that targets that protein can be a very effective therapy because the cancer cell can no longer grow or survive without the function of that protein.
In your cancer discovery paper, you examine how oncogene-addicted cell lines respond to targeted therapies. What did you find?
Well, in this paper, we were exploring how cancer cells undergo cell death or apoptosis in response to targeted therapies. When targeted therapies in general, when they are effective, they both block the cells from growing or growth arrest, and they induce cell death or apoptosis. And what we were finding is that when we looked at many cancer models of a specific genotype, that there was a large variance in the amount of cell death that was induced by that targeted therapy. However, the growth arrest was actually quite uniform throughout the panel of cancer models. And so we started focusing on what might lead to this variability in the amount of cell death that's produced, and might that also contribute to the heterogeneity we see in the clinic, where we see patients with the same genetic mutation having markedly different responses to that therapy.
So do you have any guesses as to the biology underlying the heterogeneous response?
So I think there's a lot of potential hypotheses as to why we see these heterogeneity of responses in the clinic. However, for most cases, we don't have any understanding of the heterogeneity of responses to these treatments. And what we were hypothesizing, or what we are hypothesizing, is that part of the differential responses we see in patients may be due to the fact that some cancers are really poised to undergo a dramatic apoptotic or cell death response, whereas others give very puny or no cell death response. And the ones that are not ready to die or will not die in response to therapy are less likely to produce dramatic responses in the clinic. And that was the basis for the studies that were undertaken by Dr. Faber and our team.
And in these studies, you discovered that a protein called BIM plays a role in the response to targeted therapies.
So what Dr. Faber did early on was he was trying to understand what was regulating apoptosis in genetically defined models. And originally he looked at EGFR mutant lung cancers and HER2 amplified breast cancers, two classic oncogene addiction paradigms. EGFR mutant lung cancers are sensitive to EGFR inhibitors. HER2 amplified cancers are sensitive to HER2 inhibitors. And what he stumbled upon was the finding that he saw markedly different amounts of apoptosis in these panels of cell lines. Among the EGFR mutant cancers, some would die very, very well. Some would not die at all. In the HER2 amplified cancers, some would die very, very well. Some would die not at all. And to our surprise, that variance was not explained by how the receptors or HER2 or EGFR was regulating signal transduction in the cell. In both the cells that died very well and the cells that didn't die at all, there was very good suppression of the intracellular signaling pathways upon inhibition of the receptor. But what he found was a marked difference in apoptosis. And his earlier work, as well as work by other labs, had shown that one of the proteins that's critical for inducing cell death in response to therapies is a protein called BIM, B-I-M. And this is an important effector for apoptosis. And what he found through his series of studies was that the levels of BIM in the cell perfectly correlated, or very well correlated, with the amount of cell death that was observed after the targeted therapy treatment. So now all of a sudden he had found a functional biomarker that was very accurate in predicting which cells in a specific oncogene addiction paradigm will die in response to a targeted therapy.
And then you looked at this in mice and patient tumors.
Yeah. We looked in vivo and found that the tumors that die very well, you get great responses in vivo. And the tumors that don't die very well, the responses in vivo weren't as impressive. And even if we just block cell death in vivo by knocking down BIM, you abrogate tumor responsiveness in vivo. And that made us think that perhaps in the clinic, the tumors that are really ready to die very well have a great clinical benefit from the drugs, and the tumors that don't die very well will not have a great clinical benefit. And so we looked at a series of lung cancers with EGFR mutations. And what we found was that the patients who had high BIM levels, and we would suggest that these tumors are really ready to die in response to therapy, they did better with treatment. They had longer progression-free survival and greater tumor responses in terms of tumor shrinkage. But equally important, the patients with low BIM did much worse on therapy. Their progression-free survival was several months shorter, and their tumor shrinkage was much less impressive, suggesting that in those cancers with low BIM, those tumors are not really having the types of responses that we want from our targeted therapies.
So patients with high BIM levels would be predicted to have good responses to current targeted therapies. But what about patients with low BIM levels?
Absolutely. And I think that's the critical part in terms of how this can help future clinical development. If we really are able to use these BIM measurements to identify the patients that will not respond very well to single agent targeted therapies, these are the patients that we need now to develop new therapeutic strategies for. And there's a few strategies that we're taking. And we're trying all these strategies, of course, in the laboratory at this time. One strategy is to add therapies that actually can cause very effective cell death. And in some cases, that can actually be classical chemotherapy. And right now, when we give EGFR mutant cancers an EGFR inhibitor, we give it as a single agent EGFR inhibitor. And in the past, we've given EGFR inhibitors with chemotherapy with no benefit that we know of, at least. But if we just targeted that combination to the low BIM patients, we may find that the addition of chemotherapy could actually be helpful. I think what we're more excited about are two different approaches to induce cell death in these tumors. One is to try to develop therapeutics that will actually restore BIM levels. And in a few situations, we've figured out how the cancers are suppressing BIM, and we can use new therapeutics that can restore BIM. The other approach is to directly target the BH3 family proteins with specific modulators of BH3 function that may help overcome the low BIM expression and induce apoptosis in combination with receptor tyrosine kinase inhibitors. And the idea would be to develop these strategies in the laboratory over the next 6 to 12 months, and then if in that time we're in a situation that we can robustly measure BIM levels in the clinic, to then develop a clinical trial where we're targeting low BIM patients for newer therapeutic strategies.
Thank you for being with us today, Dr. Engelman. These findings certainly help us understand the response to targeted therapies and should help predict which patients may be good candidates for this type of treatment, as well as inform future clinical trials.
It's a pleasure.
Thank you for listening to the Cancer Discovery Podcast. Please be sure to read this paper and the other exciting papers in the current issue at cancerdiscovery.aacrjournals.org.